Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we are going to talk about the 2026 Emmy nominees, and we'll find out if everything's just the bear again. Damn it, stop that. All right, well, let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today for my Emmy nominee podcast is Mr. Troy Heinrichs.
I mean, this race will just drag on and on. Does that one work? No.
No. That was a nice try, though. You might be the last survivor of the show, though. I'll tell you that. You're going to try and work every show that's nominated in here somewhere? That would be a bear. And eventually there would be only murders in this building. You know what I'm saying?
It's a traitor to all the members of the building.
Now you're just reading shit. You just read different shows.
Look, it's all her fault, all right? You put me up to it.
God damn it, we're going to have such a beef. Guys, there's a lot of TV that's nominated. What we're not going to do is go through all the technical awards. So yeah, there's your Spider-Man noirs here and there. There's definitely a lot of technical awards. We're going to go with the main categories, the best dramas, comedy drama, limited series, and acting awards. Okay, and of course, reality, because Troy watches that because he's a shame. He's a shame of himself is what he is. Not ashamed of himself. He's ashamed of himself.
And there was drama in that category this year.
In reality?
We're talking about it. In reality.
What's the drama? Is it because of RuPaul?
Are we just jumping into it right away? Is that what we're doing?
I mean, you know, we could waste time. Do you want to waste time?
No, let's just get into it.
How was your fourth? I mean, well, hang on. We're past. We had the patriotic episode.
Oh, my God.
People seem to like it. But there were definitely a lot of, you can't pick that one because of politics. It's like you didn't even listen. We said we weren't going to do any politics. God bless it. Woosah. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I did not intend for this to happen. I had no idea the scene existed, but I had the most 4th of July America style that you could possibly have. I watched, I believe it is the 7th episode of the 2nd season of For All Mankind. And at the end of the episode, the Marines ride on the outside of the lunar module, which is being piloted to a lithium mine site on the moon that the Russians currently hold. And they're going to overtake this mine site with guns on the moon. I'm like, great. What? This is more American than you can possibly get for the 4th of July.
And this is the alternate history show on Apple TV, right?
Yeah. What happens if Russians got to the moon first, basically. And so as they're approaching the lithium mine site, they hum Ride of the Valkyries on top of it. And
oh, that's cool.
Before they finally, they like jump off the thing. They storm in there with the guns. The Russians run away. They take the Russian flag. They plant the American flag. And I was like, yep, that's the 4th of July right there.
That is America.
Sums it all up.
We were here first. Ours. Whatever.
And then, of course, I was like, you know, I wish I could share this with somebody. And sure enough, the entire clip is clipped on YouTube because America.
Well, good. I'm glad you did. Did you watch any fireworks or anything? You didn't do fireworks? You didn't do that whole...
I sat in my house while my house got shelled by the neighbors because they shoot off actual like fireworks. So it's just like boom, boom, and the whole house just rattles. And I didn't have to go anywhere. Just sit on my deck.
Is your neighborhood like mine where you had more fireworks leading up to the 4th than you actually had on the 4th?
No, most of them were on the 4th this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it rained. Rained the whole week.
They didn't care in my neighborhood. But you know what? We're past the 4th. We're over. We're 250 in some days. So, you know, now it's onward to 300. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck,
who
America.
Survived?
You can do it. I have faith in you. All right. So let's go over the Emmy nominees. So the Emmy nominees came out, the nominations for the best in television. And I got to tell you that a lot of that is streaming now. A lot is streaming. Now, Troy, you do have some stats, do you not?
On
the networks, like the big ones, like who got the most?
As far as the big ones,
yeah.
The huge ones, I mean, I don't know how much
most number you can get. Numbers.
You know, it's a lot. There's a lot.
There is a lot.
Numbers.
HBO, there's a lot of I think, had the most.
A lot of streaming networks, too.
Yeah, HBO Max has
122.
Yep.
Yes, and Netflix still in there with 111, but Apple TV, the TV service that was non-existent, that only had like one show every quarter.
That's true.
Apple TV coming in at a solid bronze with 87 noms.
That's pretty good for, like, they have a fourth of the content as those. And right. I saw that the head of the his network, streamer, whatever, whoever that was, I can't remember his name, but he was giving an interview and he basically said, we are sticking with our quality over quantity approach and it's paying off.
Yeah, because Disney Plus, a paltry 14.
Oof. Wow. That's terrible.
Well, I guess it depends on how you count, because it's FX Hulu, so they're 23, so that's a combined 37.
That's different. They're different, though. They are different streaming networks. What I find funny is Prime Video, Amazon has all the money in the world, and they have 28 nominations total in the Emmys.
Right. They cannot beat NBC, which wasn't a great network to begin with. Yes, we did a podcast for The Blacklist for NBC, but it wasn't a great network. they're coming in at 30. So ABC, CBS, NBC round out the top six. Prime Video 7, FX, Hulu, Disney at 8, Peacock at 9, and then Nat Geo coming in at the top 10.
I saw MTV had some they had 11 nominations. I'm like, for what? What does MTV still have anymore? I'm old. I guess I'm dating myself. I don't know, but
I tell you what, they don't have music videos.
Yeah, they haven't had that in a while, buddy. They haven't had that in a while. But the most nominations for a show is The Pitt. It's not a big surprise at 25.
Especially, you just nominate the entire cast.
Yeah, why not? They're all
makes it easy to get that number.
Hacks 24. I like Hacks. I don't love Hacks. I still find it surprising that it's so nominated every year. But if people love it, people love it. And then number three, Widow's Bay, coming out of left field with 19 nominations.
I think that's the big shocker for the year. I think
not to me. I've watched it. I'm not surprised at all. I think it's a fantastic show, and it's one that when it started, the audience wasn't there. It was actually looking pretty ugly there for a little bit. Then word of mouth started building, and boom, it shot to the roof, got an early renewal and everything else. So Widow's Bay has really come along, and I will say it took an episode or two, but man, then it finds its footing, and it's just so, it's a drama, it's a comedy, it's horror. It's very Stephen King-ish. I'm really shocked you haven't watched it yet. To be honest,
I slept through the first two episodes because it played after that For All Mankind episode, and I fell asleep.
Oh, and it was like the autoplay, like the next thing up kind of thing.
Yeah, and it ended up being like the end of episode three, where like the creepy thing, whatever, is like chasing him into the bathtub, and the guy shoots it and it disintegrates. And I was like, "What the fuck did I just wake up to?"
It's a great show.
So yes, now I want to go back and watch it because I'm so like, what the hell is this?
There are some great cameos. There's some fun. Side bits. It's kind of cool because it's about this whole island and the horror, the curse basically that traps people there. But it's also like each episode kind of has its own horror vibe, if you will, like its own little genre piece. And it just works really well. And Matthew Rhys, and I know you've said this for years because you watched The Americans, masterful actor. Like his performance is not really, he's not playing it for comedy, but he's so freaking funny. And then there are moments where I'm like, God, he absolutely played that for jokes. And then, you know, you watch it and he's just so like kind of meek and mild. And then you go watch The Beast in Me, which he's also nominated for. And he's scary as hell. So, I mean, he is a phenomenal actor. He really is.
And he's Perry Mason.
He was Perry Mason. He lost his license to practice law.
He is Perry Mason until somebody takes the reign again.
Sure. Why not?
But he also did Brothers and Sisters on ABC, which was actually a really great show, too. And he was phenomenal in that as well.
I just saw him speaking to that, saying he would love to come back and do that again. He would love to do like a wrap-up season or a movie or something. He said he'd still be willing to do it, which is, I thought was crazy since he's moved on to so many other things. But apparently it's close to his heart.
That's a good show.
And he's married to the diplomat, right?
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
He is, technically. Okay, well, let's start with the nominations, okay? So, best reality series. Why don't you take the nominees on this one? Because that's your favorite category, yes. And I don't watch any.
The nominees are Dancing with the Stars, RuPaul's Drag Race, Survivor, Top Chef, and The Traitors. Now, you're saying to yourself, wait, Troy, did you not say Amazing Race? And I said, that's correct. I did not say The Amazing Race. Only the second time since the program started airing has The Amazing Race not gotten an Emmy nomination.
What does that mean?
That's because Dancing with the Stars said, I'm going to eat your lunch, Amazing Race, because we haven't been here for 10 years. And this season's Dancing with the Stars was better than Amazing Race. And I would have to agree.
Did you watch it?
I watched Amazing Race and I was bored to tears.
Bad selection for the guests, or was it the actual race?
It just like, I've seen the show. Like, I don't need to watch this anymore.
Oh, you're finally at the place where you're done with it.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to, like, I'm not going to force myself to watch the Amazing Race.
Are you like that with Survivor too, though?
Oh no, Survivor, I'm all in.
Okay. So if you had to pick, who would you pick and why is it RuPaul's Drag Race?
I would actually pick the Traitors. I think the Traitors is just freaking bonkers. It's so good.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
I haven't watched any of these. I don't watch reality TV, so I can't really speak to it.
The Traitors would be up your alley. I mean, it's so much just like mischief and, you know, effery and a bunch of other stuff. It's great.
Is this celebrity Traitors? No, this is just regular Traitors. This is the Alan Cummings.
Regular Traitors. There was a celebrity Traitors. Yes. But Alan Cummings is great. He's such a great host.
Alan Cummings. I do like
him. He's fun. He's so fun.
Okay.
Plus then you can watch the English version and the Australian version. Those are even better than the US version. No holds barred over there across the pond.
They don't care?
No, not at all.
They just do everything cooler because there's an accent?
Yep, pretty much.
All right. Well, let's build up to it. We'll build up to the top category. So supporting actress in a limited or anthology. We'll just alternate these. How's that?
Sure.
Okay. Supporting actress in a limited or anthology series or movie. And Linda Cardellini, DTF St. Louis. For the kids at home, that means Down to Frolic. Dakota Fanning, all Her Fault. Lori Metcalf, well, she really moved down past Roseanne. She was in Monster, the Ed Gein story. Yu-Yun Yun. Yoon for Beef, and I apologize if I got that wrong. Constance Zimmer, Love Story, John F. Kennedy, and Carolyn Bessette. I'm going to jump all in on Dakota Fanning, but I think you're probably going to go a different way.
No, that's exactly where I'm landing.
Okay. All right. Do you have a belief that that should be the winner, or just that's your just personal choice?
I did not see Beef, so I can't comment there. Love Story was okay. Ed Gein was terrible.
I hate it. It's just not good. Other than Charlie Hunnam was actually pretty good as Ed Gein, but that's about it.
Yeah, and Linda Cardellini, like, she did okay, but it was the same character the entire run of the episodes. There was nothing expansive or new. Maybe one episode where she shined, but it wasn't like anything, you know, like, oh wow, she's really good at there.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I hope Dakota and Elle Fanning both win, because it'd be cool. Sisters. I don't know. I'm weird like that. Who's next? What do we got next?
Supporting actor in a limited or anthology series or movie. We got Jason Bateman for DTF St. Louis. We have David Harbour for DTF St. Louis. We have Richard Jenkins for DTF St. Louis. Richard Gadd for Half Men. Charles Melton in Beef. And Nick Offerman for Death by Lightning. Oof.
I think David Harbour for DTF St. Louis. I've even told you I didn't like the show. It wasn't for me, right?
Right.
But what I will say is I really, really appreciated his performance. And I will say, like, Jason Bateman's kind of a little out of his box because he's not really the smarmy, sarcastic guy. It's a little more, it's a different performance than he used to. So it's Black Rabbit, honestly. He's nominated for good stuff too. But David Harbour, I think, kind of took his performance up a notch and let himself be very, very vulnerable. And I mean, really vulnerable. I think his character is very vulnerable in the show. And it really impressed me when I did watch it. Like, he was my favorite thing about what I did watch.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like, for him playing, you know, Hopper for Stranger Things and just seeing some of his other work, he's always the same kind of like goofy guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like the gruff, but, you know, good, but bad kind of guy. Yeah. And here he was just an all around good person. It just, is over his head.
And he was emotionally deep, like dealing with his own like sexual trauma, dealing with his own, you know, how he feels about the family, how he feels about how he let his wife down and
how he tries to deal with the kid.
Yeah. With dealing with the kid is he's an amazing dad, and which is just makes the end of the series just heartbreaking. I don't know how you couldn't go with David Harbour. I don't like picking against Nick personally ever, but yeah, David did a really great job in that show.
Okay. Who's not, it's me, right? Lead actress in a limited or anthology series or movie. We got Claire Danes, The Beast in Me, which is a great series. Sally Field, Remarkably Bright Creatures. I just watched that over the holiday and holy crap, is it moving. It's really, really touching. Sarah Pigeon, Love Story, John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessett. I haven't watched it, nor will I. Sarah Snook, All Her Fault. Who you got?
See, this is interesting because, like, Remarkably Bright Creatures, I felt was like, should be like more like Oscar side than TV side. So it's this weird blend now with the streaming services, because it used to be like the movie only aired on television. It was like one of those, you know, two night or three night event type things back in the day. So like to see Remarkably Bright Creatures here for an Emmy, I was like, my brain just can't wrap around that for some reason.
Because of the fact that it's a movie, not a series.
Yeah. Is
that?
Yeah. It's not like a TV movie. It's an actual movie. But I don't know. Sarah Snook, I thought, did really great.
I did too. I will tell you, like, she's my choice. I find her to be absolutely a fascinating actress. And she, obviously, she stood out when she was on Succession, which is a show I was not a fan of, right? I think I've said that on this show multiple times. It's just not for me. And, oh, and also Carey Mulligan and Beef. I can't believe I didn't mention it. Carey Mulligan and Beef. I did not have that written down. She's also nominated. Beef, I didn't like at all. So I watched two episodes and said, I'm done. I'm out. It was much better with Steven Yeun. So yeah, it's Sarah Snook. She just, that show really surprised me. Like, I put that on, I thought it was just going to be ridiculous, kind of like a kid's gone, whatever, but there's so much more to it. And I thought she handled it well, and she didn't just become like a hyperventilating, you know, lunatic or anything. I mean, she really, really played the character differently than I really expected. So I thought she was great.
You know, we have to like mix this up a little bit. Otherwise the fans of the podcast are going to be like, they're just agreeing with each other the whole time.
Well, if you've ever listened, then you know it doesn't happen that often. So
I know.
I'm not going to mix it up.
This is exciting.
I'm not changing my opinion just based on, you know, because you agree with me. I'm just like, hey, win for us.
All right. Well, the lead actors in a limited or anthology series or movie went to Riz Ahmed for Bates, Jason Bateman in Black Rabbit, which I thoroughly enjoyed that performance.
Yeah, he's good.
Oscar Isaac in Beef, Charlie Hunnam in Monster, the Ed Gein story, which we just mentioned. And of course, Matthew Rhys for The Beast in Me.
Is it Rhys or Rhys?
I don't know. Rhys, Rhys?
I mean, I heard about, you know what? Let's just keep butchering it and not even bother to check it. We could check it. We're not gonna.
We could. But we're already here, so we're just going.
So go ahead. What do you think?
You might get a rise out of me calling him Rhys. I don't know. I'd still go with Matthew for Beast in Me. Although Charlie Hunnam's a very close second.
It's Rhys. You're right. It's Rhys. I did check. Damn it. See, we disagree. Damn it. And I'm wrong. Who did you're picking Charlie Hunnam, huh?
No, I'm sticking with Matthew.
Okay. Matthew Rhys. Okay, why?
I just found, like, even though Charlie's performance was really good, I just found the whole Monster Ed Gein story just dull, boring compared to the other ones that have been out.
It's a terrible miniseries. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when you're done talking.
Yeah. I mean, if Charlie wasn't there, it would definitely be like, why'd I even waste my time? You know, so maybe Charlie gets the win because it made it watchable, I guess, but it barely watchable. Or The Beast in Me was actually fun and interesting.
Here's what I will say. Riz Ahmed, he's a great actor. I don't think he should win. Jason Bateman, I don't think should win. I liked him in Black Rabbit, and I thought he was going against type, but I also don't think he was doing anything special.
No.
Honestly. Okay. It was enjoyable, entertaining, not special. Oscar Isaac, he's great in everything he does. I just didn't like Beef, so I'm not going to pick him. Charlie Hunnam, he's really the only good thing about that. And I will say, like, he's a close number two, for sure. I think just because he really put himself out there and took a chance, and I respect that. I didn't think of Sons of Anarchy the entire time. That was good. But it's Matthew Rhys, man. I'll tell you, I'll give you a little preview. Probably going to be my pick in both of his categories because he's nominated twice. He is a phenomenal actor. The Beast in Me, I would not pick Claire Danes because I think she kind of went full Danes, which is, you know, it's a lot if you know what I'm talking about. It's a lot. But he was the glue that kept everything together and made it all work. And it's because he could play a character that we're supposed, like at least half the show, you're trying to figure out, is he good or is he bad, right? Like you don't know for first half of the show. And then you know one way or the other for the second half of the show. But that first half, man, I couldn't decide which side of the fence he landed on.
That's or which side acting. Of the fence you wanted him to land on.
Yeah, fair enough. And he would flip my opinion just based on his performance, because there are moments of outburst, there are moments of calm, there are moments of levity, and he just, the guy can just play any beat, any note. I mean, really, really impressed me. So yeah, he's my pick.
We agree again.
Okay. Might be a clean sweep by the time we're done. Let's see.
Maybe.
Is it you or me?
You.
Okay. Outstanding limited or anthology series. All Her Fault, The Beast in Me, Beef, DTF St. Louis, or Love Story, John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette. Or Bessett. I'm sure. I don't care how it's spelled. I'm terrible. It's been a long week. Go ahead. What do you got? What do you got for a
winner? You call it Bessetti.
I am beset by her name.
This is hard. Because I really enjoyed All Her Fault and The Beast in Me.
Oh, I almost did an office joke there, but I didn't. Because I'm growing as a person.
Man, no. I do like Claire Danes, though, in there. So I'm going to go with The Beast in Me.
You do? I'm kidding. I mean, she's good, but she's over good. The top.
Sure, but, you know.
You didn't pick DTF St. Louis. I really thought that's where you would go.
I love the ending. I love the story. I love that I kind of called it. It just,
if anybody's listening, that's the most important part, is that last part. I love that I called it.
Yeah. I was mad at myself that I changed my mind 8 times through the course of the show. So maybe that makes the show good.
That's a good show. Yeah, that's a good show.
But my initial theory was the actual theory. But yeah, like it kind of drug in the middle. Like, I'm like, okay, just let get to the point. Like, move along. And they repeated some stuff too many times. So I can't, because of that, I just can't give it over to him.
Well, I guess we agree again. Yeah, we do. Beast of Me for me too. It was one I barreled through. I hardly ever binge watch anything anymore. Even when they drop all at once, I will watch one or two and then come back to it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my thing too.
But Beast of Me, I got through in like a day and a half, 2 days, something like that. Like I barreled through it. I just had to figure out how it was going to end. And at the end, I'm like, I hope they figure out a way to make this an anthology, you know, something. I just really, really dug it.
Maybe they will.
They could. They could. Yeah, they easily could. Supporting. It's you, right? It's you now.
Yes. Supporting actress in a comedy series, because they do break these out for the
Emmys, the comedy jokes. And drama.
Dale Dickey in Widow's Bay. Hannah Eidbender. Einbinder. Man, that's a hard one. Einbinder. In Hacks.
This is why we don't work for entertainment tonight.
No, we do not. Janelle James for Abbott Elementary. Oh, I love Michelle that. Pfeiffer in Margo's Got Money Problems. Jessica Williams in Shrinking. Megan Stalter in Hacks. And Kate O'Flynn in Widow's Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to disagree here.
Well, let's see what you got.
Well, I watched all of these but Hacks. And I just started Widow's Bay. So I can't speak to Dale or Kate. But anytime you split the vote, they don't get it.
That's true. That's probably true.
So, but Jessica Williams' performance in season 3 of Shrinking is without a doubt some of the best acting she's done. I mean, I won't give away what happens in season 3, but there's a lot with her character in season 3. And I thought she just masterclass on all the different range of emotions she had to go through. So it's kind of hard to pick against her. Because no offense, Michelle Pfeiffer was wet paint and over the top. I couldn't stand her in that show. It almost made me turn the show off because she was in it.
Ooh, ouch. Coming after the Fife. You know, would you agree? Like, Jessica Williams is one of the most natural actors.
And natural. Just charismatic and entertaining. I'd love to see her do something drama and deep, you know, to compare against Shrinking, just to see what her range is.
She is just so effortlessly, like, she always comes across as genuine, like someone you would love to hang out with. Not because she's pretty and blah, blah, blah. No, just like genuinely someone you would love to be friends with. Like, she is so effortlessly natural.
Genuine character. We don't know her personally.
I mean, I've seen her. She used to be on Daily Show, so I remember on there. She has just an absolute charisma about her, you know, and I think it's just some people just have that natural ability to appear genuine without having to try that hard. And I think she's just one of them. And I agree. She's phenomenal. I'm going to go with Kate O'Flynn from Widow's Bay. That performance is just kind of like a masterful performance to me. Might even rival Matthew in the show just because hers is a supporting role and she is a character who is all quirk. Like she starts very kind of like very mild and kind of in the background. And as the show goes on, she builds and builds and builds. And there's one episode that's dedicated to her that is one of the funniest freaking things I've seen on TV in forever. And it's basically like a Friday the 13th homage or a Halloween homage. And it's just like so ridiculous, but she is so good at it. And there's another one where she's trying to host the ultimate party and things just go really sideways. And it's just one, and that's one of my favorite episodes of TV this year. So she's a central part to the things I love about Widow's Bay. So to her, it's got to go for me.
All right. It's our first disagreement.
There we go. Where are we at next? Okay. Supporting actor in a comedy series. Colman Domingo, The Four Seasons. Bobby W. Downs, Hacks. Harrison Ford, Shrinking. Stephen Root, Widow's Bay. Michael Urie, Shrinking. Tyler James Williams, Abbott Elementary. Good on him getting a nomination. That's a great show, by the way.
Your category, your pick.
Stephen Root was awesome, but I would go Harrison Ford and Shrinking on this one. The Parkinson's analogy, the work that he has to put into this particular season, and his evolving relationship with Jason Segel's character is just, it all comes together to be probably some of the best work Harrison Ford's ever done. And I say that as one of his biggest fans.
Yeah, because you are an indie snob.
I am an indie snob. Yep. It's not better than both indie. Come on.
Both for movies and Indiana Jones.
It's a different kind of role. Different kind of role. He's also, he has the same thing that Jessica Williams has. He has that natural ability to seem like a guy you would love to have a beer with.
For sure. Yeah, he's phenomenal in the third season. Especially for me, having my mother-in-law who passed away from Parkinson's just recently. You know, like going through that season, it was heartbreaking watching it, knowing like this is exactly what I'm experiencing. And for him to be able to play that and then have Michael J. Fox be like the person that he's kind of like seeing, but also like hallucinating at the same time. Like, I thought it was just masterstroke. The two of them playing off each other. Oh, so good.
So good.
And of course the speech with Jason at the end of the third season is just such a great speech.
It's very moving. Very moving.
Although the more I see Colman Domingo and stuff, I just love the guy. The guy is just so smooth.
I do love Colman Domingo, but I don't like Four Seasons. I hate the show. I do not like it.
He's just a fun guy. But no, it's Harrison Ford all the way.
All right. I get
you. So let's lead with the ladies for the comedy series. Io Edberti for The Bear.
Elle
Fanning from whatever.
That one I know.
Elle Fanning from Margo's Got Money Troubles. Lisa Kudrow for The Comeback. Quinta Brunson for Abbott Elementary. And Jean Smart for Hacks. Jean is great. Elle carried the show. But also don't feel like it was anything out there fantastic. I really don't like the show. That's part of my problem. Was Elle's performance better than Ayo? I don't know. I'm going to give it to The Bear.
Are you really?
Io Edberti. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I'm going with Elle. Elle, because I want the sisters to win. I'm not kidding. Margo's got money troubles.
That's fine.
I think Elle Fanning is just a remarkable young actress. I think she really has like really impressed me the last few years. And I think she is that show. She's really the thing that clicks in that show. She carries it. And I say that as her going against heavyweights like Michelle Pfeiffer, who was a little over the top, but I didn't dislike her. Nicole Kidman and Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I give her all the credit in the world, and she stood her ground.
Yeah. It became very after school special. And so like,
But she was great.
Like,
so, I mean,
she is great.
Don't get me wrong. I honestly will not come back and watch more of that show. I won't. I know it got renewed for season two. Good for them. That doesn't take away from how good she is. I mean, and I'll be honest, I've never liked The Bear. I haven't. I don't consider it a comedy series. It says lead actress in a comedy series. If I'm not laughing, it's not a comedy series. And I'm never laughing.
That's where they submit it. That's where they submit it.
That's their choice. And they keep getting nominated and they keep winning stuff. But I'm telling you, I do not consider it a comedy. And I refuse to acknowledge a show that's in the wrong category. Just because the Emmy says they'll put it there doesn't mean it should be there. Sometimes you need to step up and call something what it is, and that's wrong. And it's not fair because there's other comedic actors that deserve to be there that are giving great comedic performances. I don't know who they are, but they should be there. How about that?
It's fair.
No, it's is fair. Unfair. it's unfair. Like, you look at a lead. I mean, I guess maybe it'd be, well, I guess it would be, you got Quint in here. I was going to say Cheryl Lee Ralph should be in the supporting somewhere, but Kristen Bell, nobody wants this. Why isn't she here? Like, that's a comedy. That's a freaking comedy.
I agree.
There.
Boom. I don't think the second season was as strong as the first season, so that's probably why it's not here.
Probably not. But let's move on.
To the actors in a comedy series.
Mm-hmm.
This category is unfair.
Oh, wait, it's me, isn't it? Sorry.
It is.
Lead actor in a comedy series. You're like trying to give me every hint in the world. Steve Carell, the Rooster, or not the Rooster, just Rooster.
He is the Rooster.
Yeah, Abdul-Mateen II in Wonder Man. Matthew Reese in Widow's Bay. Martin Short, Only Murders in the Building. I always feel bad. Like, he never wins. And for a while there, he was up against, like, Steve Martin, which is also unfair. But now he's, like, the consistent nominee, and he still can't win. And Jason Segel in Shrinking. It's Matthew Reese all the way. I will tell you, I really, really do like Steve Carell's performance in Rooster quite a bit. It's very, very endearing. But again, it's not laugh out loud funny. It's just more heartwarming. It's more like the Ted Lasso kind of vibe. And
that would make sense because it's from Bill
Lawrence.
Bill again. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I love Steve's performance in that show. Like, I'm not the hugest Steve Carell fan overall. Like, one, you know, The Office was great. His characters are funny. Evan Almighty is terrible. You know, so he has some downward trending at some points in time, but Rooster's a great watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, John C. McGinley being there also doesn't hurt it. But like, I don't understand how Martin, I mean, if they submitted Steve as the lead actor and Martin as the supporting actor, maybe that's why Steve was, because I mean,
no, they always submit them both as the lead actor and then Selena as the lead actress, because they are, it's kind of like they're all three top billing, and they've been in the same category before. Steve Martin and Martin Short have been in this category before together.
Yeah. But I would have given it to Steve Martin for this last season. I mean, climbing up on top of the coffin.
That was so freaking funny.
That whole scene just wins the Emmy right there. I mean, if it wasn't up funny. Against Matthew Reese, because Matthew Reese for sure.
So who is that, who you're picking?
Oh yeah. I mean, Jason Segel is great.
I'm very surprised season. You wouldn't pick Segel, because you are a huge fan of Shrinking.
But at the same time, Jason Segel, his character went through a lot of growth and change in the third season, but it's not anything different than the other two seasons. You know, Matthew Reese was like, I haven't seen this version of Matthew Reese before, and this is good. Like, I'm one episode in, and I'm like, I'm hooked, I'm sold.
It is very different. Yep.
I guess I'm three episodes in because I fell asleep to the first two, but I went back and watched the first one. So I actually knew what was going on.
How'd that go?
It's great.
Okay. Like, well, good.
I'm bouncing between that and For All Mankind now, which is against my normal MO.
Hopefully you write it out and give it a chance. And
they're both on Apple. They're both on the home screen. It makes it easy.
That does help. Okay. So what is at you next?
The comedy series Outstanding.
What was that?
And then it's like, which ones are these? They're actually comedy series, because The Bear is not, but it's still here. Mm-hmm. Abbott Elementary. Network TV, Hanging Strong, Hacks, Margo's Got Money Troubles, Only Murders in the Building, Shrinking, and Widow's Bay.
You read your pick, sir, I believe you said.
Yep. I haven't seen all of Widow's Bay yet, so I don't know what to pick, but...
Well, pick your choice, man.
I would pick Shrinking for sure, because I think the third season is a masterstroke.
I think you're probably not alone. Also wrong, it's Widow's Bay. It's the... It's the best, I would say, it's the best new show of the year. And so far, I think it might be my favorite show of the year. I really can't think of anything else that I would put above it that's a comedy. What I would say is The Bear doesn't qualify for me. I would never even consider it. Sorry. Hacks, you've had your run, as far as I'm concerned.
Margo's was billed as a comedy series, and it's not a comedy series. It's not a comedy series.
No, it's not. Yeah, it is what it is. I would go Widow's Bay. I absolutely love it.
All right, when I finish it, we will see. I'll make sure I get done before the Emmy so I can change my vote.
You're not gonna love it because you know how much I love it. So you're gonna be like, no, that ain't even stupid. This was stupid. That was dumb.
I like some stuff that you like. I think I like more of your stuff than you like of my stuff.
Well, you like a lot of sci-fi, and I don't really love science fiction. That's probably the problem.
Cartoons.
That's probably the problem. But I will say, Widow's Bay could have ended stronger, and I feel like it probably would have had it not been renewed, if that makes sense. I feel like there's a little kind of adjustment at the end that I feel maybe it was intentional, maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
All right.
Once you get there,
this is not a good sell job for me here. Keep going.
No. I'm still stoked for season two. I just,
okay,
you know, could be expectations too, because I mean, every episode was getting better and I'm like, holy shit. And then we got to set it up for season two. And you know, I would have loved that one to be a limited series, just the way the story they're telling. But I think there's a lot more story to tell. So, all right. Supporting actress in a drama series. Holy cow. If you're on The Pitt, you're not getting an Emmy. I'm just letting you know. Because there is Taylor Dearden, The Pitt, Fiona Dourif, The Pitt, Catherine LaNasha, The Pitt, Sapita Mofi, The Pitt, and then also Allison Janney, The Diplomat, Julianne Nicholson, Paradise, Caroline Wydra for Pluribus. Who you got? This is a freaking collection of people right now. Like, these are some awesome performances across the board.
I mean, I think when you talk about The Pitt, the,
canceling each other out. Canceling each other out is a big problem here.
A lot of these women are powerhouses on The Pitt. I think they're all great. I think they all felt very similar to season one. I think they also, it's just kind of like, I don't think their characters work without all the other characters. So they all kind of support each other. That's why they're in the supporting category.
Mm-hmm.
But Julianne Nicholson being in a supporting role is highway freaking robbery.
It's bullshit. Yeah, it is bullshit.
It's bullshit.
She's the lead actress on that show.
She is the show. She is the show.
Okay, well, calm down. Sterling K. Brown would have a problem with that.
Sterling K. Brown was wet paint in the second season.
You can kiss my ass. Sterling K. Brown is never wet paint. There's never a moment where he's wet paint. That dude...
Compared to Julianne Nicholson in the second season, no. Julianne Nicholson is the second season. Conniving, manipulative, mother, just so good. That is totally where my vote would land, because she should have been in a leading category.
Here's what I would say, and this is the funny part. Like, I literally could give an Emmy to any one of these people, these women, and I would say, yep, well deserved, right? I mean, like, there's not a performance that's bad. And I don't think Caroline Wydra, whichever way it goes, is...
She does so much with so little.
She is so powerful in such a weird, odd little performance. I mean, it's just... It's such an interesting, she has such a, like, don't get me wrong, the lead is more complicated, right? Reese Seahorn is way more complicated of a performance. But what Carolina has to do is actually be the supporting character at all times. Like, she is the supporting character for the show, and she does a phenomenal job. But if you're going to have Julianne Nicholson in supporting actress, Julianne Nicholson deserves the Emmy, because I am amazed at how underappreciated she is as an actress as a whole. I really, really am. Whenever you watch Paradise, that is a woman you should hate with all of your being, and also you empathize with her. She's that freaking good to where you can actually empathize with her. And
And you're also terrified as all get
Yes,
out.
You're absolutely terrified. Oh, God, what is the phrase? Oh, I can't remember it off the top of my head. It's a phrase she gives to make some things happen, I can't remember the phrase, but, and I probably shouldn't say it, 'cause I don't want to spoil it if you haven't watched it, but if you haven't watched Paradise season two, you get to a point where there's like a certain phrase that she utters that is, you become terrified of hearing the words. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I'm just terrified that she's going to say these words. So she's so good. She's so good. Yeah. She should take the Emmy. She should get an Oscar, and it doesn't count. I don't care. Okay.
All right.
You or me? I always forget the order. We alternate, and I can't remember. Me, right?
I think it's me.
Okay.
Supporting actor in the drama series. We have Patrick Ball from The Pitt, John Hatosi from The Pitt, Jaren Howell from The Pitt, and oh, look, there's only three guys. I'm confused. Because Billy Kudrup is still here for The Morning Show. As well deserved, Jack Loudon for Slow Horses, Tom Felfrey for Task, and Carlos Manuel Vega for Pluribus.
You got a favorite?
I have to say, the only reason I got through Pluribus, because I was bored to tears a good chunk of the time, and maybe that's because I have a Vince Gilligan season one phobia thing after Breaking Bad, that the one episode where Carlos has to go through the Darien Gap in his trek to get to Carol, that episode was so well done, so great, and how he acted through all of that. And then even just when he, like, when he's in his own hometown and he's going past people and just his silent stare, I mean, he basically acts most of the show without any dialogue whatsoever. That I think it's just a performance above, and I think it'll be interesting to see what Carlos and her do in the second season.
I think Patrick Ball in the pit, great job. Billy Crudup is a great actor who's probably vastly underappreciated. Sean Hattasey, I love that he's kind of had a resurgence because he was kind of gone, but he's good in the pit, but he's also kind of like the hot doctor, I think. You know, I'm going Tom Pelfrey. I don't, Task is not a show I really enjoyed so much, but because I think it could have been stronger, but everything I do like was Tom Pelfrey adjacent. And he's just an actor that I absolutely love in everything he does. And he stands out every time you see him on anything. And the thing is like, he's still barely recognizable, but you would know him as the brother on Ozark. You know, he's done a bunch of stuff. He was in Iron Fist. I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff, but whenever he shows up, I'm like, oh, I'm in for something. Banshee. Oh, he was so good in Banshee too. But I think he was great here and he really made a complicated villain. So yeah, Tom Pelfrey for me. He won't win, but I'm going to root for him anyway, because I think the pit guys are going to cancel each other out.
I agree.
Okay. Lead actress in a drama series. Oof. Carrie Coon, The Gilded Age, Chase Infinity, The Testaments.
Does not belong here.
In a drama?
Just the character, the show. The, no. Damn. I have
qualms. Not a fan?
Qualms.
Okay. Well, hang on. Tell me the qualms in a minute. Kerry Russell, diplomat, married to Matthew Reese. Apparently, being a badass actor runs in the family. Reese Ehorn, Pluribus. Zendaya, Euphoria, which is fair to say, great performance from her. So, what do you got here? What? Tell me the Testaments problem, because you love Handmaid's Tale.
This I did is the spinoff, Tale. Right? Yeah, I enjoyed the Testaments. I feel that for what I saw for the entire season, not just a few episodes, but for the entire season, that Lucy Halliday, who plays Daisy, as one of the Pearl Girls that Chase Infinity's character is assigned to bring up in the way of Gilead, but Daisy's character was much more fascinating, much more interesting, drove most of the skirmishes and content of the season. Like, there's no reason why Lucy shouldn't be here instead of Chase, in my opinion. I think Lucy is the show.
Mm-hmm.
She's the June Osborne of the Testaments. Chase cries a lot.
So who are you picking?
Out of this crew, I mean, I do love me my Carrie Russell, but she was really good in that third season too. But man, you know, the first episode of Euphoria, the drug mule, the vomiting, the stuff in the Zendaya buried underground for the croquet scene. Oh my goodness. I'd have to give it to Zendaya for this one.
Okay. Fair enough. She's having a great year. Why not? Give her an Emmy on top of it, right?
I mean, Rhea's real close, but I didn't like the show.
Yeah, I'm going Rhea Seahorn. Sorry. It's to me, Pluribus only works because of her performance. Flat out. Like, it just only works because of her performance. You know what I'm talking about, Carol? Like, that's just the only way this works. She's the only person in the world, basically. One of the few that matters, if you will. So she is fantastic in that role. She makes that show work, and it shouldn't work. Nothing about that show should work. And if you've never seen Pluribus, I recommend you check it out, but it is not for everyone at all.
The first episode is great.
It is great. And I wouldn't say it maintains that level. I don't think it does, but it does remain an interesting and fascinating show that has some really weird, quirky humor to it, which I appreciate.
The first episode is great. And then when Carlos's episode comes on, that's when it actually gets good.
Sure.
After that, they're both great together.
That works. I can buy that. But she's fantastic and she deserves an Emmy. Go ahead. Sure. What do you got?
Lead actors in drama series. I'm sure none of these are going to be a shock. Sterling K. Brown for Paradise.
Yeah, because he's that good.
Whatever. Gary Oldman for Slow Horses.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo for Task.
No.
Rufus Sewell. I can never say his name.
Who cares? He's not that
Rufus
great.
For Man in the High Castle. In The Diplomat.
Nope.
And Noah Wiley for The Pit.
So who you got?
I mean, give me some Rufus any day. I just love, he's just smooth. He's awesome. I love that guy. But yeah, my problem with Noah Wiley is that Noah Wiley is Noah Wiley, right? We're so used to seeing him as this ER doctor going through what he's going through. I feel he's the same problem with Sterling K. Brown. I've seen Sterling K. Brown's, you know, ticks and moves and maneuvers. And yeah, he's trying to get to his wife, Terry, and oh my God, the drama. And he's got to carry a baby across the country.
But don't get me started on that first half of that season.
The two of them just feel like it's the same thing they always do. There wasn't anything special until you understand that Noah Wiley's character is going through some shit in the second season. And I thought he played into that really well, even more than he did in the first season. I think some of the conversations he had with people, how he just let himself explode a few times. I think Noah actually does deserve it this time around for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going Noah Wiley. Simple as that. Because Noah Wiley is phenomenal on that show. I think he maintains it. And I don't think there's anybody here in this category that even comes close to beating him. Sterling K. Brown, I do think, is a great actor. I don't think this wasn't the better season of Paradise. And Noah Wiley maintains his level of intensity and acting bravado and great writing on top of it, which helps him as an actor. I think Sterling K. Brown kind of suffered from, I don't love the writing for especially his portion of the show in the early portion of season two. The baby portions, I think you could have done all of that in one episode. I just felt like it was a lot of wasted time. And it's not his fault. Everything he did was great. He's just a great actor. But Noah Wiley he continues to crush it to me.
Especially when Shailene kind of overshadows him in the start of the season.
I wouldn't make that. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, I would say so. There is one scene in particular, I think it's episode 3, where she was pretty fantastic. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, we've got Outstanding Drama Series. We're not doing the guest actors and all that either. So, Outstanding Drama Series. The Diplomat, The Gilded Age, here's a big surprise, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
As it should be.
But no acting
performances. Better follow-up to Game of Thrones than that other one.
I would agree with that. Although this season of House of the Dragon is pretty phenomenal. It's really
phenomenal. They had to rebound. They had to rebound.
Fine. But it rebounded, you know, better a rebound than people bitching about how it ended. Paradise is the next one. Then it's The Pit. Then Pluribus, Slow Horses, and Your Friends and Neighbors. No John Hamm, but this nominated, and no actual knight, but A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is nominated. I don't think that's a good sign for them to win if you don't even have acting performances in there.
Well, again, this is like that. Why is there 8? Can we just pick 5?
The Emmys are weird, man. They do it their way. That's my pick, bitch.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Diplomat is not a show that I really get into. Nothing wrong with Kerry Russell. Same with Gilded Age. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms was actually one of the best surprises of the year, I would argue. Paradise, great show, but not as great as the first season. Pluribus, good show, has aspirations to be great. Slow Horses has been on for 45 years already. And Your Friends and Neighbors doesn't work for me at all. The Pit. I'm going with The Pit. I think it maintained that level of quality, and I think that's pretty impressive for a show that, number one, has 15 episodes, and I don't want to watch 15 episodes of anything. And number two is a medical drama, and I've said this before, my mom was in the medical field for 40 years, so I have a hard time watching medical shows because of so much nonsense that happens in them. But this one is different because it really has an air of accuracy. What about you? And I would love for a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms to win, though. I will say that.
If The Pit wasn't in here, I think it'd be a really good battle for the two seasons that aired in this television year between The Diplomat and Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Honestly, I thought The Diplomat season was really, really good for what it had to deal with. Night of Seven Kingdoms was just such a pleasant surprise and such a fun watch. And I'm so sad it was so short of a run. It almost felt like a mini series rather than an actual series. Paradise was not as strong as the first season, although I do love where the show is going long term. Pluribus, I felt, had four great episodes out of the run. Slow Horse has just been here forever. I'm excited that Your Friends and Neighbors got a nomination. I'm a solid watcher. James Marsden joining the cast this year was an absolute delight. Dealt with a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun, you know, for being a drama series. I think Amanda Peet had a lot of stuff to work with this year. Olivia Munn stretched a little bit this season. All around, I think the cast as a whole worked together really well. But it's not an Emmy drama. By any, it's Desperate Housewives with sex that you can actually see. Gosh, I didn't love the second season of The Pitt as much as the first, but when you compare the field, like, you have to give it to The Pitt still.
Now, do you find it odd that Stranger Things, I think this is the only year that it wasn't nominated for Best Drama. Does that surprise you or no?
That was this past New Year's, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was this year. It qualified.
I don't know. Maybe how they broke up the release of it all. Is it a movie? Is it a TV show? Is it a limited series?
I mean, they've nominated it multiple times. It stands as a drama series. So, yeah.
Honestly, though, but from this list, like, if you're going to give it to Friends and Neighbors, Stranger Things should have gotten a nomination because it was the final season at a minimum, right? Mm-hmm. Would it have won against this field? Absolutely not. I don't think the fifth season was as strong until the final episode, to be quite honest. But yeah, I'm going with The Pitt.
Okay. Fair enough. So I want to ask you a couple questions before we move on. All right.
Sure.
This is the old snub. Is it a snub? Is it fair or is it a snub? You know what I mean? The show Industry, should it have been nominated for Best Drama?
No.
Okay.
I am four episodes into the fourth season and I'm kind of bored with it now.
Fair enough. Taylor Sheridan shows. There's no Landman, no Madison, no Dutton Ranch.
They're great. They're great, but they're just TV fodder. It's no different than Network, my opinion.
Ooh. Savage. Not even a Landman like a Billy Bob Thornton or the Madison. I think Michelle Pfeiffer's fantastic in the Madison. I legitimately do. I was surprised that wasn't her nomination. Those shows, nothing? You think they're pretty much just fodder for you?
I feel like they're the same show.
Okay. Well, then you haven't watched it because those two shows are nothing alike. I'm telling you right now, that's a boo-boo.
I mean, structurally, it's like,
No. The Madison is a show all about grief. It's all about, it's like grief porn, if you will.
Okay.
Landman is about, well, it's about a lot of weird things and occasionally the oil business. Kathy Bates, not nominated for Matlock when she was nominated last year. That's kind of a surprise, but they've got a lot of drama with that show, right?
That's the one that felt weird. And I would have put Kathy over Chase. Easily.
So do you think she got the one battle after another like bump push?
100%.
Yeah, a little bit 100%. Like her stars rising and whatnot.
100%.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took.
She deserved
away.
It for one battle after another. She does not deserve it for the Testaments. This, no.
And you know something that really did surprise me? I wouldn't call it a snub because it doesn't belong here. But Jeremy Allen White, not nominated for The Bear. That's, I don't even know if that, I mean, he won like a couple Emmys, so it's kind of surprising he wasn't nominated, which is good that they're making some changes. What I do like is that you are seeing a little bit more genre peeking in to the categories. It's like they're realizing that, hey, people do watch other shows besides Matlock.
I feel like that's been the case for a while, though.
Not yes and no. I always feel like it was a little bit, like they gave you a little bit. Like there's a lot of genre in here. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, Widow's Bay is completely new. No one even knows the show. Rooster's completely new. Wonder Man is a Marvel show, and that got a freaking nomination. I mean, yeah, Shrinking, The Bear, Hacks, those are here. Only Murders in the Building, they're here every freaking year, and I think that's kind of nonsense. What I do find funny is
Veep again, Veep again, Veep again, Veep again.
Yeah, right? One thing that really annoys me, as much as I love The Pitt, you like a drama, you've got three actors that are nominated for The Pitt. Three. In supporting, it's supporting actress, what was it, like four women, three, four. So that's seven nominations for supporting actors. And you're telling me in a TV landscape that has 500 shows, those are the ones, like there's nobody else. Nobody tops any of those seven. Nobody. It's bullshit. Like that is, nothing against those actors. I am taking nothing away from any of those actors. I am saying they absolutely do not look at the full scope of what's out there. Fair? Not fair?
I don't disagree with you. I think there should be a rule that you can only submit one. You get one lead, one supporting for your show. Make it count.
Well, one male, one female.
Yeah.
Because they have the different, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be fine. I think they should make a rule like that. I mean. Yeah,
four. One lead in each, one supporting in each.
Sure. There you go. Make it fair.
One guest in each or whatever.
Make it fair. I really think, you know, if the thing that bugs me with award shows, and I know a lot of people are getting, they don't even watch them anymore. They just get sick of award shows and whatnot. And we talk about them because they're still pertinent in entertainment. But man, they just are so siloed in so many respects. I mean, the Oscars, they ignore all genres, really. Barely acknowledge, like if Indy Navarrete isn't nominated for Obsession this year, I don't even know if I'm going to watch. I'm going to be too pissed off because it'll just be bullshit. Because, I mean, she kind of like revitalized horror, if you will. I mean, she just lit it on fire and she created a performance that's very memorable. But she might not get nominated. And you have so many TV shows that are out there that never even get recognized. And it just irritates the hell out of me. Like, watch some of this stuff. Don't just throw a pity nomination every now and again in a technical area. Like, watch some of it. Nicolas Cage, look, Spider-Noir, I get it. It seems like a Marvel show. Nicolas Cage is doing some great work in that show. And it's not even getting talked about in award circles. Because it's too prestige, I guess. I don't know. But he's doing great work, so that should be what we're talking about. That's one who I think got snubbed. Anyway. I love genre, so what do I know? Woosah. Speaking of, we're going to move on. I want to mention a movie I saw.
Yeah?
Did I what?
Ash? Was Ash there?
He was not. There is no Ash in this one. I'm sorry to disappoint you. No cameo.
I don't want to watch it at all now.
That's fair. I will say, Evil Dead Burn, right, is out, and it's about after this woman loses her... I don't want to spoil it too much because it's kind of surprising, but after the death in a family get together to kind of mourn, if you will. And of course, deadites are upon us, including his late wife. So he's one of the family. I'm not saying she's a deadite. And it's an Evil Dead movie. So if you've seen the other five, this is the sixth film in an Evil Dead, you know that there is a specific set of rules, but there is no plot. Really, it's just there has to be a Necronomicon, aka Book of the Dead. There have to be deadites. Maybe there's a dagger, and there's probably going to be a recording of somebody reciting words that they shouldn't have said out loud, at least at some point. And that's exactly what we get. And it's the family going after each other. And what I will tell you, Sebastian Venicek directed this, and what Sam Raimi, who's the producer of the original Evil Dead films, along with Rob Tappert and Bruce Campbell, what they started doing is having indie horror directors take the Evil Dead franchise and make their own film and do it kind of their own way, using those specific parameters, but make it your own way. Fede Alvarez did it in 2013, I think. And then we had Evil Dead Rise not too long ago. That was Lee Cronin. And now we have Sebastian. So they're letting them kind of take the reins and do their own thing, use the elements, make it as dark as you want, as horrific as you want, add some comedy. And everybody's kind of doing their own flavor. Evil Dead Rise, which was the last one, there was a lot more comedy involved. This is a dark and dirty, visceral horror movie that will make you wince more than once. Like, I mean, it is ear, nose, and throat horror. There are things that involve the ears, the nose, and the throat. Like, they're all over the place. They're bodily fluids. It is gross. It is intense. I was shocked like the first half hour of this movie. And I don't really have a standout performance, but Lucianne Buchanan really impressed me when she, I don't want to spoil anything, but she gets a little dead-eyed on, all right? It's just going to happen. Sorry. And she is fantastic. Like, she just makes it. She's the best dead-eye we've had in the Evil Dead series, I would argue. But it takes a little bit to get going, and about a half an hour in, it hits the throttle and just never lets up. And I was at the edge of my seat the rest of the movie. That's impressive to me. And I have seen every kind of horror movie, and I was wincing in multiple scenes. Like, I had to look away at least twice because there are certain scenes I couldn't do. There are a few things I can't stomach. Very few. And because, like I said, I don't get scared very often. And I wasn't really scared. It's just, oh no, I can't look at that. One of them has to do with dentures. That's all I'm going to say. You'll know it when you see it. But it's really intense. And what I really like, Troy, are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. What I think is fascinating, I'm just making sure you didn't fall asleep. What I think is fascinating is that they take, it's very artistic in how it's shot. And I do think Sebastian uses too many close-ups. Like he's a little obsessed with close-ups, but I think he uses them to kind of bring you in and set up the future of scenes. And he's also planting seeds for what's to come. You know, a lot of movies do that, where they'll show you a pen and then that pen becomes very prominent later. And he does that as a distraction too. So you think that pen's going to do something and it goes a different way, that sort of thing, subverting expectations. But the shots, he does a lot of like cocked camera angles, a lot of, you know, from the perspective of the fight, of the battle, of the stabbing, of the murder, of the maiming, whatever it is. And he has a one shot in here. He has a one-er where a woman is basically just trying to escape while another person is being pummeled in the background. And there's an all-out brawl happening basically in this house behind her. And it's a one-er. So it's like consecutive. You know, it doesn't cut at all. And it is one of the best shots I've seen in a movie this year. I mean, it was very well done. Like I'm trying to keep my eye on the ball and everything. I want to see what's happening. And I can't decide, do I want to follow her? Do I want to follow the fight in the background? Do I want to follow the body that just flew in front of her face? Like it's fantastic. And I love Evil Dead movies, so I am a fan. And if you are a fan, this will work. This will hit you where it hurts. So I think I like Evil Dead Rise a little bit more because it was a little bit funnier. But if you're talking just visceral terror, this was a fun time, man. I have $10 the full price for admission. I give it $7. Do you have any questions about this movie? I don't know if you even watch these.
Yeah, I was like, I watched the original ones. I never got into like kind of like the continuing saga of all of this.
Saga
jazz.
Might be it's a not stretch. Really,
not really my kind of genre.
That's fair. That's fair. I will tell those.
If Bruce Campbell's there, then I would come check it out. But
he's
no Bruce Campbell. No checking that out.
He's very ill. He's got like he's dealing with some kind of health scare. Yeah, it is. But he's not there. There is a little nod to him. If you've seen the other movies, you'll catch it. But there is a nice connection to the other films. Like it really, because these are kind of like independent. Like they're. They're solo movies or they're siloed off from the first three kind of these last three. And this movie kind of connects them in a way. So
interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you, and make sure you stay all the way through the credits, there's actually two post stingers. So stay all the way through because there's some big connections and it's worth checking.
Is it like Halloween trying to like rectify its timeline?
No, I mean, they're really just, they're building it. That's what they're doing. They're building it up to it. So they're saying this is a bigger world than we thought. So maybe there's a way that Bruce Campbell can work his way back in. I don't know. Who knows? But he is not in this, I promise. Yeah. So what about you? Is there anything that you've watched recently you want to mention before we move on?
No, I've been all sucked into the For All Mankind.
Okay.
So, and the From finale, I think, happened since we last chatted and was kind of like all right. You know, they had a season to tread water. The season 5 will be the final season, so I'm sure they'll get some really, really good stuff.
Disappointed? Are you?
I was just bored with season 4. After the end of the way season 3 ended, I was expecting a lot more, and I was kind of like, yeah, this could have been a movie.
I'm sorry, buddy.
It's okay. I'm sure everything that I wanted in this season will be in the next season.
I'm sure.
No holds barred for the final stretch.
I am sure. I have almost no doubts.
But Silo's back. I did catch the first two episodes of the new season of Silo, picking up right where it left off. Jules is dealing with her aftermath of the things and events that happened at the end of season 2, but it also does a little bit of side storytelling where they're also going back in time and telling you why the people are in the silo in the first place. So you're getting kind of two stories for the price of one in season 3. So I would highly check it out. That is my Apple TV check for the week.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, they're not going to need to pay you anymore because they're starting to rack up the nominations. You know what I mean?
I know. my streaming credit went down from $1 an episode down to a penny an episode, I guess.
Boom. All right. Well, that's going to do it, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back with a new episode next week. We'll see. Maybe Amanda shows up. Who knows?
We will. And then we'll be on a cruise.
We will be on a cruise. So we'll be back next week. And I don't know. I am going to see the Odyssey before we leave on the cruise. Are you going to see the Odyssey before we leave or not?
Before we leave?
Yeah.
Doubtful. Okay. Will I see it in Vancouver on Saturday before the boat leaves? That might be possible.
Okay. Well, if you guys didn't know, go ahead.
I will not see it before I get on the plane because I'm on the plane Friday.
Fair enough. If you did not know, our whole cruise is coming up and we will be into Alaska. So we've got a few dozen coming to Alaska with us. So that should be fun.
Yeah. Should be and if you missed out, so sad for you. You have to just listen to us here instead.
I mean, we did have probably like three or four times as many on the Caribbean cruise, so maybe we should have done the Caribbean. I don't know. But I love Alaska, so hopefully we have a good time.
I've never been. I'm excited. I have a balcony. I will take lots of pictures.
It will be amazing. It's a beautiful
trip. Aaron and I are going to dog sled against each other.
Yeah, we're going to race.
We're going to race.
In July with no snow. So that should be fun. It'll be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. But that's it for this episode. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, the next time you head to the theater, buy popcorn.
Because it's summer. Get out of your house. Enjoy the sun.
Yes. In a theater.
And then go to the air conditioning because it's hot.
In a theater. Just don't see Moana because I can't do that wig.
Oh my gosh.
I can't do that
wig. How to not do a live action.
Man.
Wah, wah, wah. You'd say it ran aground.
I know. Why not cast another actor to play Maui? I don't get it. What? The guy is noticeably bald. Why are you putting a wig on him? It's distracting.
Too shiny.